This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Baghdad has been hit with missiles and bombs in another overnight bombardment that targeted a presidential compound and Republican Guard positions on the southern outskirts of the city. The air assault was described as one of the heaviest since the war against Iraq began on March 20th. U.S. infantry battalions continue to battle Iraqi forces along the Euphrates River south of Baghdad, near the towns of Hindiya and Najaf. It was near Najaf yesterday that a civilian vehicle came under fire at a U.S. military checkpoint, and at least seven civilians were killed. NPR's Nick Spicer is at U.S. Military Command headquarters in Doha, Qatar. What do you know about the shooting at the checkpoint?
Well, what we're hearing here at CENTCOM is that troops fired a warning shot as a vehicle approached a checkpoint. The vehicle did not stop. They then fired at the engine block. The vehicle continued, and then they fired in the passenger compartment, and they killed seven women and children. This is in the same area where four U.S. troops were killed in a car bomb attack at a checkpoint recently, so they may have been a little bit nervous. CENTCOM people here tried to explain what happened. Brigadier General Vince Brooks said he would prefer that there be zero civilian casualties.
Our checkpoints have to remain alert and vigilant to any type of threat that would approach that which is being protected and secured. We have not had a change in rules of engagement in recent days. There is increased vigilance because of the tactics that we've seen used throughout the battlefield by the regime and the death squads that are out there.
Brooks went on to say that the troops had to be especially vigilant because the Iraqi government was pushing some civilians into conflict situations as human shields and so on. So the message was that if civilians are being killed, in many cases it's the fault of what he called the regime. Brooks said that above all, the problem for troops was maintaining the right to self-defense. But he didn't really explain in answering reporters' questions how they will be able to distinguish between suicide bombers or human shields from people who are just fleeing or going about their business. He added there might be a sort of calibration in procedures in the standoff distance for cars at checkpoints and compensation money for victims' families as well. He mentioned that there was an information campaign throughout Iraq on the radio and through leaflets to tell people how to avoid such dangers, and he said there was an investigation into this incident, although he wouldn't provide a date about when its conclusions would be presented. I might add that today there was another such incident in southern Iraq in which a man who failed to stop his pickup was killed by Marines. There were no arms found in his vehicles, and he too is believed to be a civilian.
And on the military front, what about fighting south of Baghdad with Republican Guard forces?
Well, there have been fierce skirmishes, as you were mentioning, between U.S. troops and Republican Guard units at Hindiya, which is about 50 miles south of the capital. We're getting that information from CENTCOM. Fighting around this town, which is on the Euphrates River, is reported to be the closest to date to the capital. Top official here at CENTCOM has been saying that an attack on the capital could, in fact, come in a matter of days without waiting for reinforcements. He said that U.S. forces were prepared to take heavy casualties, if necessary, to capture the capital. Now, this idea of an impending final assault goes against the reports and speculation that we've had over the past few days that the U.S. and the U.K. would hunker down, that they were overextended, that they would now secure the supply lines and await reinforcements for a final attack.
What about reports of movements of Republican Guard troops south? What could that mean?
Well, we heard from CENTCOM officials that members of the Nebuchadnezzar Division have been found in the south of the country, and this was a surprise, a good surprise for them, because this is a crack division that was originally deployed in the north of the country. So their read on this is that things are going so badly in the south for the Iraqis that they have to redeploy troops.
And British troops remain locked in a battle for Basra.
That's right. They've actually been doing rather well, according to British officials here. They've moved into two villages around Basra, notably into Al-Zabair. They did so with tanks in what is being described as the Royal Marine, biggest Royal Marine operation in the war so far. In other places, they've been trying to create a reassuring presence by taking off their helmets and putting on soft caps and putting vehicles on bridges and market squares to show that they're there for the long haul, they're there to ensure security, and that people should feel comfortable now.
NPR's Nick Spicer at Central Command Headquarters in Doha, Qatar.